Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and today my guest is Joseph Malone. Joseph is a recently discharged combat veteran who battled with depression and addiction following 7 deployments and 13 years in service. And he now works to teach other people the methods he used to believe in himself again and get back on a better path in life. So welcome to the show. I'm really glad to have you here.
Hey, thanks, Scott, for having me, man. I'm always pumped to be helping out other veterans and spreading some good word.
You know, that's the thing that I found about the veteran community is so great is that no matter what we have going on, like if there's a veteran out there struggling, going through some stuff, like we'll drop everything to go in and help them out, you know, and it's just such a great community. I've never been a part of any other community that has had a stronger sense of that selfless service than the veteran community. But before we get into more about all of that, for the listeners maybe who aren't familiar with you and your background, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So Joe Malone, I was raised on the southwest side of Chicago. And as a kid, I got involved in some pretty negatively influential people. So I started doing drugs, hard drugs at a very early age. I mean, I was like smoking crack and doing heroin by the time I was like 16, 17 years old. And my best friend at the time joined the Marines, quit everything, had to really reinvent myself. And then I ended up joining the Marine Corps. I had some broken service, but in total I did 13 years. I became a part of the Marine Special Operations Command, which we had never had before. So I was able to join back in 2012. And then throughout that duration, the 13 years, I'd been 7 deployments, all the major combative theaters, got to work with a lot of really great units and tier one guys. And then ultimately when I left, I wasn't on very good terms. I was drinking a lot, using a lot of medication, and ultimately, you know, almost ended up taking my own life. So I had to really reinvent myself to learn about life in general.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's me in a nutshell, man. I'm living life now on a new level, a new plane, and I don't ever expect to go back to anything like that again.
Well, that's good. I mean, glad to hear that. You know, you obviously went through some tough times, but you have kind of figured out what's going on with all of that. And there's no looking back. Like, you don't want to go back to that time period and that way of life. And I think there's probably a lot of people out there who are listening to this who might be in a similar situation where they might be, you know, abusing drugs or alcohol or whatever. And, you know, maybe they don't even realize it as being abusing it. Maybe it's just, you know, kind of a way of life that they've kind of fallen into. But, you know, at some point you start to notice and realize this isn't the way that you need to keep going with life and you want to make a change. But how do you do that? How do you go in and actually make those changes? So, you know, I think with this conversation, I think we'll be able to dive into your background a little bit more and talk about like what were those steps or what did you do to kind of flip that switch and make that decision to make those changes for the better in your life. And we'll get a little bit more into that in just a minute here, but we're going to take a quick break for some commercials. So stay tuned. In a startling description, the UN food chief warned the world with the words knocking on famine's door. He called what we're facing a perfect storm of a perfect storm. And he's not alone. Barron's published that a food shortage could be coming, even in the U.S. Farmers see it too. John Boyd Jr., a fourth-generation farmer, told Fox News that we're going to see empty food shelves in the coming months. That's why getting survival food is more important than ever, now. Create your own stockpile of the best-selling 4 Patriots survival food kits. It's not ordinary food. We're talking good for 25 years super survival food, hand-packed in a family-owned facility in the USA, and giving jobs to over 200 Americans. They have different delicious breakfast, lunch, and dinner options. You can make these meals in less than 20 minutes. Just add boiling water, simmer, and serve. And right now, and for the next few days, listeners of the Drive On podcast will get 10% off their first order at 4patriots.com by using code DRIVEON. Go to 4patriots.com and use DRIVEON to start your stockpile today. So, Joe, earlier in the intro, you talked about kind of your upbringing wasn't in the best circumstances. Can you tell us about your journey from going from being a, let's call it a troubled youth to a combat veteran and everything that kind of took place and how you got to where you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. So being raised where I was raised outside of Chicago, like I was saying, there's just a really negative, influential group of older people. Looking back at them now, I mean, it's just a bunch of creeps and pedophiles. And it really all started with me kind of wanting to impress women and pursue girls, you know, especially in that teenage era. And these older creeps were kind of seen as like really illustrious to these girls because they had a little bit of money. They had access to the drugs. They had their own crappy shanty apartment or house, whatever it was. And so because of that, the girls would always hang out with them. And then, of course, they get addicted to drugs. And then I was there shortly following pursuit right after. And it was just, dude, it was just gross. It was negative. It was not a very positive experience. We were breaking into construction sites and stealing construction equipment for drug money and things like that. It just one thing after another. And then, of course, you know, I lost a lot of friends to overdoses and suicide. I lost 9 friends by the time I, you know, joined the Marine Corps. And so I understood that it wasn't a good positive trajectory. And then when I watched my best friend, John, he had never gotten hooked on the hard stuff at that age. Later on when he was discharged, you know, he had his own set of problems. But when I watched him join the Marine Corps, I was living with his family at the time, and I watched his graduation at boot camp. And anybody who's ever been to a Marine Corps boot camp graduation knows that it's just a very emotionally evoking experience. And so when I saw my best friend, and this is 2005, so the war is really starting to kick off, I just knew that I didn't want him to go alone. And so that day I decided that I was going to quit everything I was doing and that I was going to go out and join. And, you know, 1 year later, literally from the day that he left, I left. And then 1 year exactly to the day that he graduated boot camp, I graduated boot camp as well. And so that started to set me off on a more positive trajectory. But a lot of people have this misnomer with the military that if you join, you're automatically set up for success somehow. And that's really just not the case. A lot of people can join the military and still end up making really terrible, horrible choices. You could still be criminal, you know. So just because somebody was in the military doesn't really mean much, although it does give you kind of like a second chance, a second opportunity at life if you choose to pursue it that way. And that's really what I was all about. I knew that I didn't want to go back to the life that I just came from. And so I just tried to make the most out of it every way that I could. I volunteered for every deployment and I just gave it everything that I, you know, had within me at that time with no intent of staying in beyond 4 years. I wanted to get out and then go to college and then do that whole thing. So following my first 4 years, I got out for a little bit, but I had some experiences over in Afghanistan specifically, where I ran into some MARSOC teams and some conversations that I had with those guys and seeing what they were doing. Because MARSOC was brand new. The Marine Corps never had a special operations component before. And so because of the conversations I had with those guys, it really kind of struck a chord with me. Because I was in Afghanistan and then 3 weeks later, I got out of the Marine Corps. So I was basically sitting in Southern California all alone by myself thinking about these conversations I had with these dudes. Well, then I found out one of the guys that I was talking with this one night, my last night in Afghanistan, he actually ended up dying. He died a few days after I had met him. And for some weird reason, I don't know why, it just never sat right with me. And I guess it always kind of made me feel like I could have done more, or I should have done more. And I still really believed in the war at this point, kind of like more than I definitely do now, given everything that's gone down. But you know, it's so I ended up going back in. I was going through paramedic school at the time, and I ended up joining the military again, strictly just to go to assessment and selection. I got selected, went through ITC, that's our training pipeline. And then from there, you know, things really just got crazy, man. I mean, you know, people ask me what I thought, how was my time over at MARSOC? And it was just intense. It was just a nonstop, 100% mile an hour, just roller coaster of insanity. And, you know, I was still making some questionable life choices. Like the time that I was out of the military, I was living in California, surfing, going to school. Like I said, paramedic school. Life was great, but I was kind of also in an affair with a woman who was married. And so I wasn't making the best choices, but I was really trying to kind of keep my head on straight. And so with her leaving her husband at that time, you know, and going through the pipeline, the training pipeline, and then, you know, she got pregnant on my first MARSOC deployment, said she got raped, just all this crazy shit. And, you know, ultimately, you know, we broke up. So now we're like off onto a really rocky start. And then I ended up meeting another girl who ended up ghosting me after a couple of months of dating. And then it turned out that she had gotten pregnant. I didn't know about this. And then she ended up getting an abortion without telling me. So not only am I starting to deal with the physical and the mental and the emotional kind of taxation of the deployment cycle and the training cycle, because it's just nonstop. You know, as soon as I got out of the pipeline, boom, I'm to a team, boom, I'm training, boom, I'm deployed within 3-4 months after graduating. And so a lot of my personal life was already starting to kind of, you know, reaping what you sow, I mean, bad choices starting to really show itself. Also the deployment cycle, the training cycle really starting to add up really quickly. But I just knew that this is where I wanted to be. It's what I wanted to do. And so I just kept putting everything that I possibly could into it, running myself as ragged emotionally, physically, and spiritually as I possibly could. But it was intense. But it was, you know, it was, I don't want to say important, but just impactful. You know, it helped really create the person that I am here today. And then,
Yeah. And so just kind of going back a little bit here, you know, I've talked to some other veterans who've grown up in similar circumstances with the friends and stuff that they had in their neighborhood. They were into, you know, bad stuff, and they're doing drugs. They're stealing. They were doing all the things that you shouldn't be doing. Right. And they found themselves going in that same direction. And what made them kind of break out of that cycle is they literally had to physically pick themselves up and move out of that environment. And very similar, there's a report about Vietnam veterans. While they were serving over in Vietnam, drugs were easily available to them.
Yeah.
And so they found themselves doing some of these drugs for whatever reason, to, you know, numb the pain, kill the demons in their head, whatever it was that they were doing. They were doing those things while they're over there. And then they'd come back home to their hometowns, where these drugs just, they didn't exist. Or if they did, it wasn't easy to find. And it's like they just stopped. It was like that change in environment caused them to just not continue to pursue that. And so, you know, sometimes, like what you were saying, sometimes you might just need that change of pace or change of environment. You were growing up in a, you know, not so great area, and the Marines took you out of that area and put you someplace else, gave you a sense of purpose, a mission and all of that. And, you know, maybe it wasn't the cure all for that, but it helped move you in the right direction. Right.
Yeah. For anybody out there who's dealing with some sort of substance and addiction. And the reason why I say so much about like the backstory and all these ups and downs and lefts and rights is because each and every time that I work my way through these processes, these problems, I'm having to retransform myself, my mindset, my belief set. And I didn't know it at the time what I was doing, but now in hindsight, you know, this is exactly what I was doing. When you can change your physical environment into a new environment, especially if you're dealing with drug addiction, alcohol addiction, really any sort of negative behaviors, then it's going to have a very significant impact on your neural conditioning, meaning that you're not going to triggered subconsciously, and the subconscious is responsible for 95% of everything that we do. So you're not going to get triggered subconsciously by the environment in your daily routines and habits and activities. And on top of that, that opens up the opportunity for you to breathe a little bit lighter and to have a little bit more neurocognition, to where you could begin to reprogram your mind and your belief systems and your self-talk. So changing the environment absolutely does make a huge impact. I would definitely say always start within, but the environment is probably the easiest thing that anybody could change.
Yeah. And something like, you know, picking up and moving, you know, I've had another person on the show before. They literally picked themselves up and just moved, and they left everything behind, all the, you know, the friends who are into bad stuff, or the family members who are also into all this bad stuff. And they just picked themselves up and moved, and they found a new life someplace else, and they now a successful business person, and you know, they're doing well for themselves. They're clean and all that kind of stuff. So definitely that environment could be, you know, a big issue, but you're right. Like, you do also have to do some inward reflection here and see, you know, is there anything that I'm doing that can be changed? And, you know, maybe there's a way that you can work things out that way, but you know, it may be a combination of things too. And you might need to just kind of look at the whole situation that you're in and try to figure out what it is that you need to do, to, you know, before making that decision to pick up and move or whatever. You might need to work on yourself first, right?
Yeah, no, you're so, I also want to say this to anybody who might be listening, is that it's always you. It's always you. And I'm only talking to people like this because this is how I've talked to myself and how I continue to talk to myself. Your life, your circumstances, everything within the vicinity, your output into this universe, into this world, is a direct result of you and your contribution. And it always starts with your thoughts, your belief system, your habits, your actions. The way that we talk to ourselves is so imperative, and we don't ever get taught this stuff as in school or as growing up, but the way that the brain works is that it wants to conserve energy, and then it wants to keep us safe from harm or death. And so conscious thought burns more calories per gram of the weight than any other organ in the brain, than any other organ inside the human body. So it's a caloric burning house, right? Well, whenever we think consciously about something too many times, what's it do? It programs into the subconscious. And so when you talk to yourself with a negative voice in that head, what happens is it happens so much that it programs into your subconscious negative belief systems. And if you have negative belief systems, you're going to have negative output into the world, negative energy, negative action. And when you have that negative energy and that negative action, you get negative results. You can't listen to an FM station on AM radio. You can't get positive results while behaving and thinking negatively. And so it absolutely 100% is up to the individual, you, me, every human being has the ability to change that belief system, change that self-talk, and then therefore change the output. But yes, absolutely, it does start with the individual, but by taking action of any kind, like changing your environment, that's like a really huge contributing factor.
Absolutely. We're gonna cut to another quick commercial break here, so stay tuned. Embrace your patriotism with the Patriot Box subscription box service. Join Patriot Box's community of proud Americans. Visit the link in our show notes for more information. So, Joe, earlier in the intro, I believe we were mentioning that you kind of suffered from some TBI and PTSD and other things along those lines. And those are things that, you know, a lot of times veterans, unfortunately, do have to face. Can you talk about your experience and, you know, how you managed to work your way towards, you know, a better path, you know, and kind of, you know, help yourself out? You know, we were talking a little bit earlier. Sometimes you got to do that inward reflection and have that ways that you're helping yourself. But, you know, what did you do to help yourself with those?
Yeah. So I never really thought of myself as somebody having PTSD, and I kind of still really don't. I guess there's, you know, some attributes of some experiences that I've had. And then when it comes to the TBI stuff, like, I never thought I had a TBI. I thought you had to step on an IED, get shot in the head. Because keep in mind, like, the dudes that I'm working with, like, some of these guys literally did get shot in the freaking head. And some of these dudes literally did step on IEDs. And so you never think about that in terms of, oh, I'm injured. So one day, my bomb technician, my EOD tech, who literally had a piece of shrapnel one day sticking out of his head this big, he was in the second push for Fallujah, Phantom Fury, you know, this dude, he looks at me and he goes, you know, you have a lot of headaches. You should probably go get seen by a doctor. And when a guy like that tells you that you should go get seen by a doctor for headaches, it's kind of like, all right, well, this, if anybody's going to know, it's this dude. So I went and I got saw by a doctor, and they noticed that my pupils, one of them blown out a little bit. And I had all these symptoms that I never knew about before, being like excessive sweating and dizziness, nighttime. You know, I would lose like my equilibrium. And so when I went to see the doctor, I'll never forget this. You know, the neurologist walks into the room and he goes, are you suffering from X, Y, Z, A, B, C? And I was like, at this point in my life, I was really just like emotionally perturbed. I'd gone through a bunch of, I gotten in trouble, and my career was basically coming to an end at this point because I just was not myself anymore. And I was like, yeah, well, wait, dude, you read my medical record just like everybody else. He goes, I haven't looked at your medical record. He goes, I just looked at your brain scans. And I was like, what? And he goes, all I did was look at your MRI. Come here, look at this. And he showed me where, you know, he called it the thickening of the axonal nerve within the prefrontal cortex region of my brain. And he said, based off of these injuries, you should be suffering from all of these symptoms. And I said, well, yeah, I am. And he goes, let's get you back. Let's get you back to not just normal, but back to being the optimal performer that you want to be, that you are. And from that moment, and he had my attention. It wasn't a linear process by any means. It was very up and down. I was overprescribed a lot of meds. I had a lot of different doctors I was seeing. I was dealing with a lot of issues at my command. And the behavioral effects of like a TBI from just like the repetitive blast, you know, I fired like 30 some Gustav rockets in one single day. You're only supposed to fire like five in a 24-hour period. That's just like one example. You know, like that doesn't include all the motorcycle accidents in full kit. That doesn't include all the vehicle rollovers. That doesn't include all the bad landings on jumps. So I learned a lot about neurology and neuroscience. And at the same time, I was learning a little bit about like spirituality and quantum physics and how energy exists within this world. I mean, this universe, I mean, everything is made out of energy. You know, it's neither created nor destroyed. That's a scientific fact. And so in this time frame, I'm really just diving down, dude. I'm drinking like crazy. And then it came down to one night, which most people, it happens, right? Where, you know, I had a gun in my mouth and I was just going to blow my brains out. And I was staying in this empty apartment in downtown Wilmington, super overpriced, dumping all my money into it. I could care less about anything. And the only thing that kept me from pulling the trigger this night was I was thinking about the cleanup crew and how bad I felt for them, because nobody was going to probably find my rotting body for, I don't know, several days. And while I was thinking about them, I passed out and woke up with my finger still on the trigger, and a buddy of mine who knew I was in distress, but he was like an hour away, but he still came, thank God. You know, he was there, and he was taking the gun out of my mouth, and, you know, it was just stayed with me. And I realized when I woke up the next day, I was like, dude, this sucks. This isn't me. This isn't who I want to be. And I need to make some serious changes. And from that moment forward, I started to identify, hey, when do I drink? When do I behave like this? Well, it's at nighttime. You know, about 7 p.m. is when the demons start coming out. So I was like, I got to go to bed. Like, I can't be awake for this. So I was taking meds at the time to get myself to bed. And then I would wake up super early, like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I still do that to this day. Done like 5-6 years now. And when I would wake up early, I didn't feel like I wanted to drink. So I just sat around. I was like, well, what am I going to do? And so I literally just started doing like weird things. Like I would like look up on YouTube, and I never looked on YouTube anything before, but I would like look up stuff on YouTube. I started getting into stock trading at the time, which ended up being a disastrous move for me later down the road. Lost everything, ended up homeless, totally broke as I left the military. Learning about neuroscience and how we could change the brain was the starting point. And I knew that if I wanted to change who I was physically and emotionally and mentally and all that, that I needed to change my habits and my behaviors. And it started with going to bed early and not drinking and getting up early and exploring that free time to expand my consciousness and to learn things. Eventually, I created a nighttime routine. You hear a lot about morning routines these days, but nobody really talks about nighttime routines. And I still maintain all this stuff to this day, where I would get back from work, you know, do some schoolwork, electronics are off, lights are down low, I'm drinking chamomile tea. If I'm listening to music, it's cool, calm, relaxing music. And then I'm going to bed on my one mattress, was my only piece of furniture in the apartment at that time, mattress on the floor. And that was it. And then I'd go to bed and I'd wake up. And then I would begin to expand and learn some more. And I began that process, which built momentum in a positive trajectory. And so basically what happened is I was falling all these years, falling farther and farther away from what I call the true self. This is my actual self, falling further away. And eventually I started to turn that momentum around. And with these positive acts and these positive behaviors, I started to realign myself with that true self. And it definitely takes time. You have to build momentum, but that's really where it all began.
Well, and those changes are, I think, similar to what we were talking about earlier, where you kind of had to look into yourself and say, all right, well, when did these demons start popping up? Okay, you know, around 7 o'clock at night or so. Well, you don't want to be around for when the demons show up. So yeah, go to sleep and, you know, wake up super early. But sometimes at the super early time, nobody else is awake. It's like the most peaceful, relaxing time of the entire day. I've had a few days where I've been up that early and it's like, there's nobody else up. There's no one that's going to, you know, bother you with anything. You have all the time in the world just to kind of just reflect on yourself and, you know, kind of do whatever it is that you need to do during that time period. And it's actually kind of nice to have a couple hours to yourself without having, you know, other things coming up or whatever. It's really peaceful and relaxing. I know people might think it's crazy waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning, but sometimes like that's actually the really more peaceful time of day. And if you're searching for peace in your life, well, then maybe you need to be, you know, doing something like that. Yeah. Kind of sucks that maybe you miss out on some late night things that might be going on, but the alternative is you're going to be, you know, drinking or doing drugs or doing all this other stuff. And you're going to be wrestling with those demons, and who wants that? Right.
Yeah, no, it's not crazy to get up at 2:30, because a lot of my friends and people do say that to me, like, oh, you're crazy. I go, no, it's not crazy. What's crazy is drinking poison and putting yourself in a negative state of existence. This is the one life that you've got, as far as we know, man. Like, that's what's crazy, is just ruining yourself, ruining your body. I never drank a shit ton of booze and then woke up the next day going, oh, man, my life is so much greater now because of these amazing choices that I made last night. It never happened once. Instead, it was like, wow, I'm myself, or I almost ended up in prison, or I almost killed somebody else. Yeah. So what's crazy is to not take that time and to find yourself and center yourself, because you're absolutely right too. Like I still remember this to this day. I would be checking my phone at 3:30 in the morning, like, oh, who's texting me? Nobody. Oh, Facebook. Oh, nobody. There's nothing going on. And so to have no distractions whatsoever is the most peaceful thing possible, and it helps you to build focus, because we're so distracted in our lives these days. It even got to the point where it almost kind of worked against me, because I would get anxiety as people would start to wake up, because I didn't want to be bothered by anybody. And ultimately, you know, on the path, I ended up going out to one of my cousin's cabins in the middle of the woods in Michigan for a while, and, you know, spent some time out there alone. But, you know, it just was like, I just didn't want to talk to anybody or be bothered by anybody. And now it's almost the exact opposite, where I feel like I have a duty, a moral obligation to help people out and identifying their negative belief systems, their negative habits, and then help them find peace and solace within this crazy, chaotic world that we've created for ourselves. You know, it's not easy to navigate because of all the advancements in technology, unless you have somebody to help you through it. Like, we as humans are social creatures. We need social interaction. We need coaching and guidance from one another. Yet we try to isolate ourselves more and more with the advancements in technology, because it's like this superficial social engagement. The reality of it is that if you're feeling anxiety and depression and all this other garbage, you need to have more human interaction, because chemically, neurochemically, it's the only thing proven to reduce those neurochemicals, those negative anxiety-riddled neurochemicals.
You know, what you were talking about before is basically the definition of insanity. If you're doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, that's insanity. Like, it's crazy to think that staying out late, drinking, you know, doing all this other stuff that isn't helpful, doing all that stuff and then expecting, gee, why isn't my life getting any better? Well, you're not doing anything positive to affect any kind of better change there. So, you know, exactly what you're saying is, yeah, 100% right. I think you need to look at what it is that's going on in your life and figure out, how do I change that to get to this better place? And if it means doing something, you know, like, you know, waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning, or, you know, going to bed early, much earlier than you usually do. Well, maybe it takes an extreme change like that to get to the place where you are. And like you said, it's not crazy to do that. It's actually very sane and logical to do that, because it's taking that negative, experience out of the entire equation. But when we get back, we're going to cut to another quick commercial break here, but when we get back, I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, helping people get through these issues, kind of what you were alluding to just a minute ago, and how we can we can help other veterans out there who might be on the same path get to a better place. So stay tuned. Experts say that China is hoarding a massive amount of food. They will soon have over 2/3 of the globe's corn reserves, over half of its rice, and over half of its wheat. But when asked about it, China lies. One China expert says they, of course, will never admit to something like that. Well, what does China know that we don't? When it comes to global food shortages, China is the canary in the coal mine. You see, China is the world's number one food importer. They rely on the rest of the world to keep their people fed. So they can't afford to mess up, or there will be riots, civil panic, or even worse, when over a billion people can't eat. What does this mean for Americans like you and me? Two words, food shortages. That's why it's a smart idea to stock up on a kit of the best-selling Four Patriots survival food. Create your own stockpile of the best-selling Four Patriots survival food kits. They're hand-packed in the USA, the kits are compact and stack easily, they have different delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, and their 5-star reviews on the website rave about their flavor and taste. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase of Four Patriots survival food by typing in the code DRIVEON at checkout. Just go to fourpatriots.com and use the code DRIVEON to get 10% off your first purchase of Four Patriots survival food. That's fourpatriots.com. Use code DRIVEON. So, Joe, we were just talking about, you know, helping people get through some of these issues that they may be going through. And your story, in my mind, is a story of resilience and reinvention, kind of just looking at who you are, kind of peeling back some of the issues that you're going through and saying, how do I address these? How do I fix these and make it so that they're not a problem anymore? And there's other people out there who are going through one thing or another. It could be an addiction. It could be, I don't know, just other negativity in their lives. It could be that negative self-talk that you were talking about before. What advice would you give to veterans who might be struggling with life post-military and seeking a new sense of purpose, a direction, or maybe just trying to unburden some of these negativity, these things that are negatively impacting their lives?
Yeah. So everything that I say is always coming from a place of love. Look, like when I got out, I was overprescribed meds. I was super depressed, almost killed myself. And then literally as I transitioned out the military, I lost all of my money, everything I had ever saved. And I went into debt, $60,000, doing a bunch of high risk option stock trading. I literally, as I was leaving the military that day, was looking at my phone and watched my account completely go below zero. So I understand when people are dealing with financial, emotional, spiritual, whatever struggles as they're leaving the military. It's a really disruptive thing in terms of like your pattern and your thought process and your behaviors. So with that being said, the first and most important thing is that nobody cares you're in the military. So just get over it right away. Nobody cares at all about what you did in the military, your service, your Bronze Star, your Silver Star. Nobody gives a damn about what you did. So just get over it. You don't deserve anything anyways. You chose to join. You did your thing. Cool. Awesome. That's great. Keep rolling, dude. It's now up to you and you only to transform your life into this next chapter, this new phase, whether you have a family or don't have a family, it is up to you to do that. Now, with that being said, a lot of people get out of the military and they get drawn up into this whole depressive life cycle. Look, I believe that there is a very powerful group of people out there, you know, and I'm not saying like, you know, elite politicians or, you know, corporate greed or anything like that, but I do truly, based off my life experiences and everywhere I've been in this world, I've been to 40 plus countries. I've done contracting all over the world since I got out of the military. I've worked in very high levels of government. So, you know, I understand the strings that are at play when it comes to global influence and information and psychological and cyber operations and warfare and campaigns and things like that, things of that nature. So there is a group of people who fear veterans. They fear veterans. Why? Because we can come together. They know that we're capable of doing great things and they know that we're powerful when we do unite. They purposefully want you to ride the VA disability check. They purposefully want you to think getting a $100,000 a year salary job in a 401k is the best that you're ever going to do. They want you to be depressed. They want you to drink. They want you to use drugs. They want you to kill yourself. There's a group of people who are very powerful in this world, I truly believe this, that want veterans to kill themselves. Why? Because that makes the society easy to control. Now, with that being said, veterans have taken an oath to protect the U.S. Constitution against enemies, both foreign and domestic. So when you allow yourself to fall into that negative perpetual belief system, that negative life cycle, what you're doing is you're allowing the enemy to win. Not just, you know, the Taliban, not just ISIS or Al-Qaeda or Al-Shabaab, whoever it is that you went out against, but you're allowing the enemy, the people who are negatively influencing the world and who are taking advantage of good people, you're allowing them to win. So why would you ever do that? Why would you ever kill yourself and just roll over and let the enemy win? You got to think about that whenever you're falling into this depressed life cycle. So how do we get ourselves out of the drinking and the drugs and, the lust, all this craziness? Well, it always starts with the self. The way that you talk to yourself, the way that you intervene against your emotions. The emotional part of our brain receives information 2 times faster than the conscious part of our brain. It's just the way that it's constructed. And when we have an emotional response to perceived events around us, we're given as humans the unique ability to consciously intervene against that thought process, that emotional process. So whenever something happens and you're like, oh my God, that's horrible, then 2 seconds later you go, you know, it's actually not that bad, right? Intervene against these negative emotional patterns so that you can realize objectively how bad things currently are in your life and your circumstances. Now, things can be horrible. Again, I was homeless. I was literally living out of a tent on Oslo Beach, Camp Lejeune, drinking myself into a stupor, right? Well, identify consciously the patterns that you need to fix, the things you need to change. And this is really where I start to help people, is I identify this for them and I give them solutions so that they can begin to change their habits. Once you begin to change your self-talk in terms of, hey, I need to stop this versus everything is so bad and overwhelming and I'm just going to keep the same behavior. No, I need to stop this. Boom. That's the first change. The next change is identifying when and where it needs to stop. That's the second change. The third change is implementing the change of those behavioral patterns. That's the third change. And what we're doing here is we're building momentum. You're starting to build momentum like a rocket ship taking off from the earth. It needs the most thrust when it's closest to the earth. But the further it gets away and the further it gets out into space, a little bit of thrust will send that thing in motion forever. And so it takes effort at first and it takes time at first. But once we start to change your thought process and your belief system, and once we start to change your habits, you start to notice that there's a direct correlation with the environment around you that begins to change. And once we can change that environment little by little, now we're compounding on these successes. And then before you know it, I mean, I went from being homeless to living in a 4,000 square foot home out in the suburbs of Chicago with a beautiful wife, awesome dog, which, you know, I know we clipped out, but, you know, you heard him barking a minute ago. He's a really great dog, awesome dog. He just doesn't stop barking. You know, life can be thrown right all, you could turn it all around in a matter of an instant. And I'm not going to dive down too far into the law of vibration and, you know, what a lot of people call like the law of attraction, but we are all energy. We are all formed into matter. Everything vibrates in this universe. And if you vibrate on a high vibrational frequency, then you will be able to see and prime your brain for those positive opportunities. But if you don't, then you won't. And the number one biggest, most important thing that I would say as somebody's trying to change their self, they're first making this realization and then they're trying to change their self. You can't think creatively in a negative vibrational frequency in a survival state of existence. The number one thing that you could do is work out. Physically elevate your vibration through working out. Do 200 burpees right now if you're in a bad mood, and I guarantee you, you will not be in the same negative mood once it's done. You just won't. You physically can't. And once you're not in that bad mood anymore, now your brain and your consciousness is opened up to where you could think creatively and you can actually begin to solve your life's problems from a higher state of elevated consciousness.
Yeah. And I've noticed just in myself, days that I do some sort of physical exercise, some physical activity, whether it's something as simple as going out for a walk or, maybe lifting some weights at the gym or, you know, whatever it is, you know, that you're doing. And it could be something simple too. Like you said, you don't need any, you know, gym membership or anything like that to do burpees. You can do pushups, you can do sit-ups, you can do something physical. And I found that like the rest of the day, well, maybe I'm not, you know, 100%, you know, maybe I'm still having a bad day or whatever, but it's nowhere near the days that I don't do anything. And I'm just kind of sitting around, I'm on the couch, I'm, you know, not doing anything physical. Those days are like the lowest of the low on the days. And so it's like that helps to, like you said, it starts to lift that rocket up off the ground, and it starts to move you in the right direction. And then, you know, you're thinking a little bit more clearly, you have a little bit more energy, and you can start to affect some sort of change in your life. But without that, you're stuck, you're grounded. It's like, you know, a rocket ship sitting on the launch pad with, you know, no fuel to lift it up off the ground. You got to fuel the body with something, right? You have to do something to get there.
You know, I forget who said it. I think it was like Einstein or Franklin, but you know, the consciousness that created the problem cannot be the same level of consciousness that solves the problem. You need to elevate your level of consciousness. And it starts first and foremost always with the self. Self-mastery is the most difficult thing to conquer. And if you can actually discipline yourself in your habits, physical exercise, and then now we start to talk about like dietary restriction, restricted caloric intake, and then monitoring something as simple as like macronutrients, your fats, proteins, and carbs. That's it. Stop overcomplicating things, guys and girls. Physically exhaust yourself first thing in the morning to elevate yourself. It's like when you throw a ball overhand and then gravity pulls the ball down throughout that flight path, right? Or gravity is like negativity within your day. The higher that ball starts off, then the further it's going to travel, further you're going to travel at a higher vibrational plane, at a higher level of creativity and positivity throughout your day, while the negativity of the experiences that you endure start to pull you down. We as humans are always negatively defaulted. Why? Because it's survival-based. Remember, the brain has two priorities: conserve energy, keep us safe from death and harm. And so death and harm is always associated with negative thought patterns, negative experiences. And so by default, that's why we always think the worst case scenario is because our brain subconsciously is going life, life, life. We need to preserve life. And so positive experiences are never associated with death, right? It's always right. A negative one. And so as we go about our day and our negative defaulted subconsciousness continues to take over as we're negatively influenced by the things around us that are bothering us, if you start your day off high, then you're going to travel a lot further. But if you start your day off low, like you were saying, you don't work out, you don't restrict your diet, you don't master yourself in your own discipline, then you're going to fall to the ground way sooner. And then if you hit the ground, your day is basically just shot at that point. You're in that survival mode. You're not thinking creatively. You're not solving problems. And if you can't solve problems, you're not going to get compensated financially. You're not contributing positively to the world and the universe. The law of reciprocity: you must give, but you can only give that which you internally possess. And so you must cultivate the internal possession that you can then therefore give to the world in a positive vibration. And then therefore you will receive the positive opportunities, compensation, whatever it is, back, because you're giving and contributing to the universe in a positive way.
Right. And the other thing too, just thinking back to the previous conversation that we were having, is as far as, you know, you waking up 2 o'clock in the morning, or, you know, whatever the time is that you get up. You know, a lot of people, they make excuses as far as their physical health goes and their exercise and all that kind of stuff. It's like, well, you know, I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I gotta, you know, be, you know, getting out the door to work at 6, or, you know, whatever. And I just don't have time to do all of that. Well, wake up earlier and you have all the time in the world.
You're being weak. And I say that from a place of love, because I said that to myself. I still say that to myself every single day. Whenever I don't feel like going to the gym, I literally say, you're being a bitch. Like, shut the hell up, dude. Like, oh, I'm listening to my body. It looks like your body's talking smack, bro. You're fat. You've got jelly rolls. You look disgusting. You feel like crap. You treat your family like garbage. Like, that is not okay. But we justify this behavior. Why? Because our body wants to conserve energy. The primal part of our brain says, I'm safe here. I'm not burning calories. That I could basically make it through this, even though the conscious part of you is so dissatisfied with yourself. Now we have cognitive dissonance. And that just further perpetuates your negative life cycle. And then you start projecting that onto the people who are closest to you. And that's why so many veterans end up in bad marital relationships, is because they're treating their spouse like garbage, or their energy is garbage. Or the way they treat other people is garbage. And then they end up killing themselves because they're sick and tired of feeling this way. It starts with the body and the diet. Well, we're really the mindset, and then the body and then the diet. And then it becomes habitual. Because again, if you could master your diet, quit a heroin, for Christ's sake. And I'm telling you, the dietary restriction is the most difficult thing that I consistently have to master every single day of my life, because we just eat out of boredom. We've developed these negative eating habits and this crap food, oversaturated in carbs and fats and very little protein. And man, I'm telling you, it makes a world of a difference when you can actually force yourself to go work out, elevate yourself, and then maintain that discipline. And anybody can do it. I see people all day long and it just drives me crazy because I know they have greatness within them, but they're just caught up in this negative consciousness, and the consciousness that's created the problem that they're resting in is not the same consciousness that could help them solve that problem. You need to get some outside help.
Absolutely. And to the point of anybody can do this, I've seen amputees climb Mount Everest, and you know, if they can do it, like, yeah, you can get up and go walk around your neighborhood. You can go, you know, do some burpees, or you can find something to do. If they can do that, you can do it too. So we're going to take another quick commercial break here. So stay tuned.
This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Veterans Service Organizations, often known as VSOs, offer many services for veterans and their families. Those services include holding job fairs and finding solutions to issues such as healthcare and finances. VSOs also offer veterans a place to socialize with other veterans for peer support. To learn more, go to va.gov.
Well, Joseph, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on today and speaking with you about your experiences and everything that you've gone through and the mindset shift that you've gone through to get to where you are today is, to me, I think is really inspiring. And hopefully the listeners out there who have heard your message so far have taken that away from this episode as well. Where can people go to get in touch with you, find out more about what you do and all of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, thanks. It's been an interesting experience, like, with all the distractions going on at the house. But Instagram is where I'm most active, Joseph_Malone_official. And then SouthernCross.company is the website that I run out of. And then Facebook, YouTube, Southern Cross Safety Academy. And the goal of all the things that I'm posting online is to really, it's started as being aimed towards veterans and helping them transfer their skills and maintain levels of lethality or increase those levels of lethality so that they can actually improve upon the skills that they started with, have good diet, have good nutrition, develop good habits, and then become successful in business. Because whether it's you work for somebody or you're working for yourself, it's really important to know how to transition positively into society. And the way the TAPS and TAMS program that the military has is garbage. Like, it's just the biggest joke in the face of the planet. And so if anybody wants help, assistance, guidance, you don't have to subscribe to any of my programs, but these programs that we're running, I'm telling you, it will change your life. Absolutely. You'll be in great shape. You're going to get ripped. You're going to feel amazing. Your energy levels, your positivity is just going to be through the roof. And then on top of it, I give all sorts of training in terms of firearms training, personal safety training, home safety, everything that I've learned from my time as a MARSOC Marine. I've been applying to the private sector, doing a lot of executive coaching, teaching some of these high level executives how to keep their family safe. So I definitely invite anybody to hit me up. Instagram, all my messages, it's absolutely me 100%, Facebook, whatever. So anybody could reach out at any point in time and I'd be more than happy to work with you.
Excellent. And I'll have links to all of those in the show notes for the listeners who want to check you out. So for anyone who is out there, want to know a little bit more, definitely check out those show notes. So now I like to close out each episode with a little bit of humor. It's been a few episodes since I've done this segment, which I've come to start to enjoy quite a bit here. It's called the Is It Service Connected segment. So I want to get that one going again, but for the viewers who aren't familiar with it, Is It Service Connected is where we take a look at a video of a service member doing something stupid or otherwise getting injured somehow because of something rather humorous. I kind of think of it like a America's Funniest Videos, kind of segment. And we try to predict whether or not the injury would qualify for VA disability, service connected disability somewhere down the line. For the podcast listeners out there who can't see the video, I'll do my best to describe the video, or you can tune in at WTSMTV.com, or I may post a video to social media as well. So follow along at Drive On Podcasts on all the socials, and you might be able to check it out there as well. But with that, I'm going to pull up this video here and get us going here with this. All right. So can you see the video, Joseph?
Yeah, I got it.
All right. So we're going to Just a quick video here. And it looks like a truck rolling over, going down a hill, you know, dirt road kind of thing, just rolling right off. I gotta imagine someone's banging around in there pretty hard. I don't know. I've been in a couple rollover drills, never an actual rollover like that, but I gotta imagine they were banging their heads on something. So I gotta imagine there was some sort of head injuries or neck injuries or something going on with that.
Yeah, for sure. Especially if they had rifles in the back of that truck. Oh my God.
Could you imagine if they had like ammo cans and shit like that, like just lined up?
I'm thinking of like all the times I've been in trucks and there's literally just all this gear, or like in a helicopter, there's all this. I'm just like, dude, we're screwed if this thing flips over, man. Like, yeah. We're going to get crushed.
I mean, you do your best to like try to strap stuff down, but you know that some of that stuff isn't going to stay strapped down, no matter how well you think it is.
Oh, no, none of it isn't going to stay strapped down.
None of it, no. So anyways, thank you for playing along with this little segment here. I like to have a little bit of fun with that. It's kind of funny to hear everyone's perspectives on the different videos that I show with this, but with that one, yeah, rolling over, in a truck like that's not a good situation. So
that's service connected 100%.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Well, thank you again for your time and sharing your story with everyone. Like I said, truly an inspirational story. So thank you again.
Right on, brother. Anytime.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Sun, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.